Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the now generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right, we're back. It's Mike Edison for the Mike and Judy Show, and Judy is off in Greece somewhere doing the Lord's work. She's on a missionary assignment. And with me today, co-hosting, is the beautiful and special Rachel Kramer-Buslin.
Hi.
How are you, Rachel?
I'm good.
I'm doing very well today, and I'm doing well today, because not only do I have you, Rachel, I have Rachel Schuchart with us. I'm surrounded by beautiful, hyper-intelligent women. Well, both too hot for television.
And Ben Lerman.
And Ben Lerman.
Oh, I don't fit in that category?
No, of course you do. You're
sure.
Beautiful, it's news to me. Woman.
Thank you.
And too hot for television. And Ben is the king of the funny song. But we're going to start off. Do we have a call in? Is Jack on the line yet?
No, we don't have Jack yet.
We don't have Jack because we got a call in from Engineer to the Stars, Jack Inslee.
Are they going to ask us how to fix his car?
he's at Bonnaroo, presumably not taking a shower and hanging out with the hippies. But meanwhile, we can segue that somehow into today's topic of conversation, which is going to be, well, multifarious, actually. We're going to talk about erotica. We're going to talk about 50 Shades of Grey. We're going to sing dirty songs. Rachel wants to talk about trivia. And we're going to talk about Miss America. Everybody nods their heads. It's radio,
those
guys.
Those all go together. Those go together.
So I was reading the New York Post today, like I was saying. I saw the new Miss America, and she was posing in front of Tiffany's, wearing a black Chanel dress and the sunglasses, pretending to be Holly Golightly and saying she's her hero and she's living her dream. And my question is, did anybody ever tell her that Holly Golightly is a whore?
Well, first of all, I am shocked that Karl Lagerfeld allowed someone as déclassé as Miss America to be photographed in Chanel. She must have had to pay for it. I can't imagine that Chanel was like, oh, you know what we need for branding? We need to dress some person from Oklahoma.
Actually, she's from New York. This
oh, she's from New York. Oh, well, then never mind.
She's from New York, but Miss Pennsylvania apparently has...
Oh, no, this is Miss USA.
This is Miss USA. Oh, sorry.
This is how I got confused.
Well, ask me about professional wrestling.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a whore or to aspire to it.
No. No,
I agree.
No, I'm not casting aspersion on whores.
Okay. You're just casting aspersion on Miss.
I think this is making, you know, a brand value judgment.
Holly Golightly, yeah. No,
if you're going to be a whore, then Holly Golightly is really at the very top of that heap.
I agree. Holly Golightly was a call girl with a mission. I mean, she wasn't like doing it for drugs, and she was planning to move up in the world. She was
a social climber, a careerist, an opportunist.
A careerist call girl.
That's right. She didn't just do it for money. She did it for real estate.
Did she look good?
Yeah, she looked good. She's Miss fucking USA.
Okay.
It's Miss Rhode Island.
Is it Miss
That's
Rhode
the
Island?
One. You, Miss Rhode Island.
Are you sure? Well,
wow.
the thing also intriguing in the story.
I just read about it.
Yeah, we know.
Freshly this morning.
We know. I mean, what is Mr. Trump? Is Don Trump involved? Is this his thing?
He owns it. He
right.
owns the whole Miss Universe franchise.
Right.
Which is the creepiest thing.
Yeah. Well, he knows a lot about young women.
Yeah, a lot.
What they want, their aspirations,
Can you
their
imagine
needs?
Owning a beauty pageant? Like, that's my beauty pageant. You know, I don't know.
Well, what would your beauty pageant be like? Oh, one can only imagine.
No, can you
really
imagine
never
owning a human
before.
Being?
I think it could be cool, though. You could have them do, I don't know, striptease, but like, you know, burlesque. You could have them do music. You could have them do whatever
I was in
you want.
I was in a pageant once. I wasn't one of the
what
contestants, though.
What was the pageant?
It was called the Miss Fag Hag pageant.
That's
and
awesome.
I was the hag's fag.
My
and
friend
she won.
Tanya won
she
that.
Did you have to be
Tanya?
I was Tanya's partner. And I dressed up like Karl Lagerfeld. It was wonderful.
Rachel,
it was a really fun experience.
What a web you weave.
Thank you for ushering her to victory.
No,
see,
anytime.
That's a cool pageant. And there's like the Miss Lower... Isn't there Ms. Lower East Side?
Yeah, the Elia. Yeah, and Mr. Lower East Side.
There's Miss Les.
Yeah. Miss Les.
There's some cool pageants.
I don't know if I want to wear that sash.
The Miss Les sash?
Or Mr. Les.
Mr. Les.
Or Miss Fag.
There's a Mr. There's a... Is it Mr. Les? Mr. Femme? I don't know. There's like a trans man pageant also.
See, oh, yeah. There are alternative pageants.
Well, I have always been really interested in the like Mrs. America one. It's like, I don't know if they
What's
have it
that
anymore.
One?
It was for married women and it was all about being a homemaker.
Well, MILF,
like
MILF is the biggest category in pornography these days.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, most MILFs are 20.
That's a step forward for feminism.
24 years old is like sort of when it happens. That's You're 25. It's like, sorry, honey, you're a MILF.
Do you think that that's
also how they
MILF,
look.
You know what? I feel to be a MILF that the kid has to be the same age as the person who is thinking of her in a MILF sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be the mother of a peer. It can't be like the mother of a newborn. Unless you're also a newborn.
Well, as superannuated as I am, all my older women fantasies.
And then
fantasies,
it's a MILF, a mom I'd like to suckle.
All of my older women fantasies now involve women who are younger than me, because that's how old I am. It was first I got older than the baseball players, then I got older than the school teachers I had crushes on, and now I'm older than the older
You're
women.
Not older than the president.
No, no Joan Rivers fantasies?
I don't know. Well, and speaking of Joan Rivers, weren't you just on a date with Joan Rivers?
We did. We had a phone date.
And how is Joan? We've had her ghostwriter on the show, you know.
She was so nice. So nice. And I've heard about this before, and I even wrote about it, how I know people, you know, that have worked with her or talked with her who say, like, she's just, like, the kindest, nicest, most thoughtful person, and, like, it's totally at odds with her. I mean, she's
so
really sensitive and really nice, and, like, it's totally...
An act?
I think, well, this is what she said about her act, which I thought was amazing, is that her act is about the unsayable. It's the thing that you're not supposed to say is the thing that she says, and that's where the humor comes from. So, yeah, but she was great. I mean, she was funny, and her book is hilarious. It's called I Hate Everything, Starting With Myself.
That's great, because I,
starting
you're not,
with me.
I say things you're not supposed to say, and I just get yelled at. I get looks.
Yeah, well, you don't say them on the stage.
I don't. One tries.
In front of a clack of adoring gay men who have all paid $75 to see you.
You know what I love about her? Did you guys see the documentary about her?
Yeah.
Piece of work.
The part where she had the filing cabinet full of every joke she's ever written.
Index cards.
By category. It was like Melissa's date.
Right. It's like Melissa's ass.
But I thought that was so sort of like businesslike, but just amazing that she would.
That's
start
old school, right?
She's
idea.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm a total fan. I
she's
dig Joan.
Amazing.
I think
and
if I had met her,
still
when...
working and still like doing all this stuff. She doesn't
still
have
wants to do. She still has all the stuff that she wants to do. She was telling me she wants to do another book, another sequel to this book, and she was talking about she's talking about doing a late night show and like I mean it's amazing. She's amazing.
Well, she's done that, but didn't really work out too well.
In the
after she crossed Johnny Carson.
Yeah, well he's dead
okay.
now.
Well, you
so who won?
You don't cross Johnny.
In the documentary, they paint her as a little bit. Well, I mean, it's a great documentary. So they paint her as a tragic figure who's never really achieved the artistic success that she always wanted to be an actor, wanted to be a Broadway actress.
Well, I thought the only sad thing about the documentary was that when she's flipping through her book and it's empty, her calendar, and
right.
she's like clearly needs that to feel fulfilled. I guess it depends right. on how you want to see that.
Validation. That validation.
She's a show folk, but she's a working comedian, and that's how you measure success on some level is just how filled that calendar is. But I mean, let's face it. I mean, you see the 900 room mansion that she lives in, you know, with a piano and a swimming pool in every room. She's doing all right, Joan. But she works, you know.
Yeah,
she works.
But
she's
I
work.
Feel like aside... I mean, yes, money is a factor, but I feel like if she had no gigs, no projects, anything, she would be one of those people who, like,
would crumble.
Die without having something to
I love
do.
Joan. Nice Jewish girl. I think if I'd met her when she was, like, 26, like in 1914, I think we could have been an item. Let's talk about some of your books.
Okay.
Rachel RKB, the premier editor of Erotica in America.
Thank you.
What are you working on now? You just won a multitude of awards, I believe.
I did win some awards.
Award-winning but, eroticist.
That's what, right. Welcome to the Mike and Judy Show, Rachel.
I have two new books. One is about hotel sex, which I love hotels. I
love
everything
hotel sex.
About hotels. I love like researching hotels. I think the Hard Rock, has anyone been to the Hard Rock in Las Vegas? Apparently there's a room or a suite or whatever with a bowling alley. Does anyone know about this? I have to investigate that. I was just reading this porn star memoir where they mention it, and I'm like,
bowling alley sex?
Well, not...
Have you ever written any bowling alley sex?
I haven't written any bowling alley sex.
As is well known, I am the author of 28 pornographic novels.
Of bowling alley
and
sex?
And there's not one bowling scene in any of them. I can't believe it.
You know what I'm
thinking about this now. I'm running it back through my head. Every single book is some guy putting cocaine in his cock, but no one bowls.
Wow. I haven't written that either. But I have written wrestling or boxing, and I don't know anything about boxing. I like writing about stuff.
I actually have a semi-erotic bowling alley story.
Really?
Although it doesn't involve me. It's a vicarious one.
Wow.
Ten pins and balls?
Please tell us.
Well, when I was growing up, I had this really good friend whose stepfather owned Kelly's, which was this bowling alley in town. I shouldn't have said the name now. I'm going to go.
And this is...
It doesn't exist anymore.
Just kidding.
And so we would get to go and bowl all the time because we were friends. But also we would tell our parents that we were going bowling whenever we were going to go do something that we weren't supposed to do. So going bowling became this euphemism.
We're taking drugs and having sex.
Bowling really gives you a lot of really wonderful metaphors for sex, I would think.
Do you have any bowling songs, Ben?
Lay down some pins. What?
Do you have any bowling songs?
Not yet.
Okay. We're going to get to Ben's song. We're going to work on a good segue for
you. All spawn art projects based on bowling after today.
So what do you got besides bowling
so
sex
happened?
Going on over there?
Wait. Oh. What happened?
The story is my friend was, you know, he was beginning to come into his gay identity, and it wasn't so easy in Nebraska, like, at that time. Although, you know, I think it was all right, but, like, it was hard to meet people. So he started, like, going online and getting guys to come and meet him in the parking lot of his stepfather's bowling alley, and then they would have sex in the car.
Wow.
Wow.
Hot.
I like that. You grew up, like, in the bowling capital of the world, probably.
Right, and then when he came over, he'd be like, oh, I was just bowling. I just went bowling. I was just bowling again tonight. Just rolling some balls.
So what else you got over there, RKB?
I have a new book called Going Down.
Oh, what's that about?
Oral sex stories. And I'm working on a couple new ones.
It's a little on the nose, don't you think?
Yeah, you know,
get it?
I mean,
get it on the nose? Yeah, never mind.
Speaking of nerdy topics, I don't know if we were speaking of nerdy topics, but I wrote an erotic story about a puzzle, jigsaw puzzle.
I think a jigsaw puzzle could be all those interlocking pieces working together to this common.
Also,
I
this is
see
a true
this.
Thing.
It gets boring
this
doing
is,
a jigsaw
it's true.
Puzzle.
This is
unless
true.
You're having sex.
Listen, I lost my virginity during a game of Tetris. Tetris was playing in the background.
And who you did you give it up to?
Tetris?
Pac-Man?
Were you playing Tetris?
Well, someone had...
Were the Super Mario Brothers there?
We had been playing Tetris. And you know it was like a big screen, so it was quite a large, like a longer Tetris than like a Game Boy Tetris, so it was louder.
Oh,
also,
a longer
so as
Tetris.
It started like happening, like with more energy, like it, you know how it like fills up and starts getting faster and faster and faster.
Wow,
and faster.
Okay, that didn't sound dirty at all.
Yeah, it's got its own sort of.
I wonder what the sexiest video game is, although I
Tetris.
Tetris. Okay,
Donkey Kong. Hello.
Okay, Donkey Kong.
I don't know. Now there's all those ones that are just like watching a movie, or you know.
Yeah.
Before we get to our break, I've been determined. I do want to do my dramatic reading from 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. And we can pick it up and talk more about erotica. Joe, you got the 50 Shades of Grey music for me? Thank you. Okay. I like him. There, I've admitted it to myself. I cannot hide from my feelings anymore. I've never felt like this before. I find him attractive. Very attractive. But it's a lost cause. I know, and I sigh with bittersweet regret. I spend several minutes staring at the closed door with which he just left before I return to planet Earth. That's it. That's all I got. That's enough. You get the idea. What a piece of crap. Okay, no whispering. We got no secrets on the Mike and Judy Show, Rachel,
it's
number one.
It's not a secret. The
Rachel,
guy sitting outside our studio just showed, like, a sexy photo on his phone. Not to us, but I saw it. There's a girl in, like, in a bikini.
You eavesdropped.
I'm sorry, I did.
You know, I'm trying to make this great important statement about 50 Shades of Grey, and you guys are...
I'm sorry, when people are holding up half-naked photos, it's kind of hard to
not
look.
That's the New York Rangers, I think.
So who's... So
I do have a song about losing my virginity. It's actually the last song I wrote, so maybe we'll come back. It was not to touch it. There was no touchers. No.
Hubert.
It was Q-Bert.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna take a short break. We're going to take a short break. I was shocked, you know, when my mother told me she read 50 Shades of Grey and all three of the 50 Shades books, and that all her friends had read it.
It's the audience.
It's too much to process.
I know. The audience.
It's fucked up. When my mom starts listening to the Velvet Underground, though, that's when I'm going to start getting worried. It's the Mike and Judy show.
Did she like them?
Loved them. Scary. Whiplash, girl child in the dark. Servant, don't forsake him. Strive, dear mistress, and cure his heart. Down he sins of streetlight fancies. The costumes she shall wear. Ermine furs adorn imperious. Severin, Severin awaits you there. Okay, we're back, streaming live on the Heritage Radio Network. It's the Mike and Judy Show. I'm Mike Edison here today with my co-hostess, guest co-hostess with the mostest, Rachel Kramer-Bussell, and also joining us, the amazing Rachel Schuchart, and a musical guest, Ben Lerman.
Hi.
Hi. So, you're here. We're celebrating the first annual Funny Songs Festival.
That's right. Today is the final day of the festival. It really has been very successful. There's a big New York Times article about it. And I've just got a text that said I won an award. So,
congratulations.
What award did you win?
I don't know yet.
Is it a Grammy, a Tony, an Oscar?
It is
a Slammy?
A New York Funny Songs Festival award. So, you know, my career is going to change.
But wait, you were Miss Fag Hag USA too, right?
No, I wasn't. Oh.
I was going to say your mantle is getting pretty crowded with trophies and awards.
True. I can't wait to get this award tonight. But we're actually celebrating at Donnybrook at 4. So if you're in New York, come on out to the Lower East Side.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah,
we got someone on the line.
Oh, all right. Here is our guest calling. Is that Jack Insley, Engineer to the Stars?
This is Jack Insley. I used to work at the Mike and Judy Show. I'm not sure if you remember me.
Yeah, Joe. What the fuck? Joe, Jack. Yeah, I don't even remember your name.
Baru, and I hear you guys talking about hotel sex books. I just hope nobody writes a book about 50 Festival tent sex.
Yeah, what's going on there? You're calling from Bonnaroo, right?
Yeah, I'm avoiding fish right now. I'm staying far, far away from that. Yeah.
You know what they say about hippie sex, right?
No.
Yes.
It's fucking intense.
Oh, good one. Hey, Jack, that's funnier than anything you ever said the entire 45 shows we did together.
Ouch. You just gonna take that? All right.
So what's going on at Bonnaroo, Jack? You still there? I don't know. What happened, Joe? I think
we lost him. This is why Jack's the pro and
I'm
just here.
Maybe he's off having hippie sex.
I think he ate the brown acid.
Someone knocked Jack off. I just wanted to say Jack off.
Once again, you're listening to the Mike and Judy Show. So who here smoked angel dust? No?
Once.
See? Can never miss with this.
I think. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, you're dusted.
It was a
joint.
Laced with a little something.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
It was delightful. No. What, am I going to lie?
Wait, it was delightful?
Terrible. It was
delightful? It was delightful and it wasn't angel dust.
Yeah. Oh, is he back?
I'm back.
Welcome
sorry.
Back, Jack.
So what's going on in Bonnaroo? Tell us.
It's all the angel dust gets in the way of my phone connection. I'm sorry.
What drugs are the hippies taking down there, Jack?
What's that?
What drugs are the hippies taking this year?
You know, something weird. Someone was snorting a clear liquid out of a vial. I'm not even sure what that was. There's, you know, standard kids on acid everywhere.
I think that was
Afrin. I realized very quickly that without the psychedelic drugs, you have no super strength, no superpowers, and you fall asleep at a normal time like a normal person.
Well, you know what the Grateful Dead had said when he ran out of pot? This music sucks. So, well, we're glad to hear from you representing the Heritage Radio Network and the Mike and Judy Show at Bonnaroo. Don't ever let it happen again.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
And here we are. We should introduce our new engineer, to the stars, Joe, who's behind the board today.
Jack, how's Joe doing?
Joe's doing A-OK, and he's funnier and better looking than you are, Jack, honestly.
Damn it. Well, there goes my gig when I get back. I'll have to start looking for other stuff.
All right. Well, go do some damage down there. Teach these hippies what the fuck.
Will do. I will spread the good word.
All right. All right, moving right along. Glad to hear from you, Jack. Rachel, and Ben, you got a song for us?
Yeah, I was going to sing a song about how I lost my virginity. So this happened in Belgium, where I was an exchange student, and it happened specifically in the bathroom of a discotheque called Le Why Not. So that was really the name of it. 18 in tight blue jeans, I'm on the town and I'm hot. Brussels gay Euro disco scene. The club is called Le Why Not. Drink and chat with a translator. He works at NATO. He's making eyes at me. He wants to dance with me, but then he's gotta go. Then another dude chats me up, but he doesn't meet the mark. It's hard to tell who you're talking to. I've had a few and the room's so dark. I want my first time to be special, but I'm so drunk and I gotta pee. It's almost closing time. I stumble to the John. This is what I see. Drop dead gorgeous at the urinal stall with his cock in his hand. Turns away from the wall and then he eyes me up and down. And I feel like a chicken leg in the eyes of a Looney Tune. Now I don't know what the hell's going on, but in just a sec my virginity's gone. Cause when the veil of shame falls, so do your pants. It was dirty and hot on the bathroom floor of Le Why Not. I think we've lost sight of how, with all this acceptance of gay people, we've lost sight of how important it is to have shameful sex, because I guess if there's a lesson in this story, it's never be ashamed of being gay, because there's nothing wrong with that, absolutely nothing wrong, but always be ashamed of having sex, because that's what makes it fun. I never even got his name, but I'll never forget his face. Isn't really such a tricky game to find love in a hopeless place. He went down, took me in his mouth. I thought my legs would flop. A tidal wave of pleasure flooded out from the south. He swallowed every drop. So now I'm down on my knees, the room spinning so fast. Just wrote a check with my dick that my mouth has to cash. So I sucked that dick like I was a drowning man miles from shore, and his dick was a snorkel. Now I don't know what the hell's going on, but in just a sec my virginity's gone. Cause when the veil of shame falls, so do your pants. It was dirty and hot on the bathroom floor of Le Why Not. Dirty and hot on the bathroom floor of Le Why Not. Dirty and hot on the bathroom floor of Le Why Not.
All right.
There it is. Yeah.
Ben Lerman. That's a lovely, lovely song. And very Jewish, I thought. The whole part about not being ashamed of being gay, but being ashamed of the sex. Right. I felt as if I were actually reading the Talmud while you were singing that.
The club is called Le Why Not.
That is
Le
Why true.
Not. That's incredibly Belgian.
Yeah.
Le Why Not.
In French, it's actually Le Why Not. Yeah.
That sounds like somewhere I would like to go. Just, especially when you say it like that. I can't see the French.
It looked exactly like any small town gay bar that you've seen them. You know, there was a lot of like
Belgian.
It just looked like they all look the same. All the small town gay bars look the same. They like there's a lot of shiny things. There's disco lights and there's
one in Amsterdam when I lived there that we used to go to all the time. And I don't think it even had a name. It was just like the one with all the disco balls on the Amstel.
Sure. Where was the gay bar out where you grew up in Nebraska?
There were a couple. There was one called The Run that was sort of for the younger gays, because they had like all ages nights, you know, where you didn't have to be 21 and you would just go and dance to like Cher remixes and stuff. And
when
then there was
when
another
one. You didn't want to have sex in the car outside the bowling alley.
You didn't
want to
have sex in the car, you went there. And
I love America.
I like that I'm talking about it like I am in fact was a gay teenager, which is not true.
Vicarious.
But it was basically
you went to the
true.
Run.
Of course I went to the run. And then
don't you still aspire to be a gay don't you still aspire to be a gay teenager?
Yeah, basically. I still wear, you know, body glitter. And the other one that was like for the sort of older, more professional gay crowd was called the Max, which was basically like being at your office Christmas party, except everyone was a man.
Wow.
Like it looked, it really looked like you were like they dimmed the lights and tried to make it look festive on the, you know, the marketing floor.
Are you getting inspiration for some new books, RKB, Rachel number one?
Yeah. Possibly. I didn't go to any gay bars when I was a teenager. I don't know if there were any.
Obviously, you didn't enough.
Did you live? Did you live a sheltered life? Is that
no? I'm just saying.
Is that
like,
why now you're the queen of erotica? Because you sort of.
I mean, I
blossomed.
Don't know. Like where I grew up in New Jersey. I don't know. You grew up in New Jersey. Were there gay bars all over the place?
No, but there was. Well, back to the cocaine penis. It always comes back to the cocaine penis. And you know, I feign shock at my mother reading 50 Shades of Grey, but it's been so acceptable, this housewife porn and stuff, and that's why I was wanted to read from it, because it's really just, you know, it's atrocious. But where this whole concept of this cocaine penis came from was from an Arthur Haley book. Remember Arthur Haley? Mm-hmm. He was like Jacqueline Suzanne and Harold Robbins, wrote these like mega zillion selling books.
Wait,
all
who
the
was
70s.
The guy who wrote Roots?
Alex Haley.
Arthur Haley, a much more successful writer.
No, cocaine penis is infirmary.
Except that I've never heard of him.
He wrote the airport books. Someone can Google this and check it. The Money Changers. Okay. All these books about, you know, professional men and their call girls and women, and you know, this really kind of shiny, sleazy.
I guarantee you there are people for whom Roots has served as erotica.
Well, I think there were a lot of like best-selling. There was, in a way, more in the 70s.
Such
breakout. You know?
Oh yeah, because people were just discovering.
Gail Green wrote these really dirty novels, and they're dirty. They're like, they jump right.
Yeah, but where was
it?
The cocaine penis? I ask you, and I'll tell you where it was. It was sitting in a library book on the kitchen table, and I would read whatever came into the house. There weren't a lot of books. Certainly nothing you could accuse of being literature in the house. I grew up in. My mom reads the popular fiction of the day. One of the millions of people who do, you know, she's not alone in this world, not alone in the world of people who somewhere in their brain there is a cocaine penis. And I open this book, and the first scene I turn to is some master of the universe, Wall Street mocker, putting a big pile of cocaine on his dick before he fucks his Asian call
doesn't
girl.
Doesn't that totally dull the sensitivity?
Yeah,
it doesn't occur to me either. Okay. You know, all the things I do with drugs, you know, it's like I don't deal them, I don't put them on my dick. call me a prude if you will. Okay. But to read this, and I'm in like seventh grade, it was like so shocking that it was in my house that my mom was reading this filth.
Yeah.
This was around the same time I just discovered Penthouse Letters and the Playboy Advisor and these sorts of things too.
And
this,
not from your mom.
Oh my God, no, that I got from my dad. Those I stole from my father.
Yeah.
So you got some from one, some from the other.
But it blew my fucking mind. I mean, to this day, like I say, I still use the cocaine penis tattoo in all the porn books I wrote. There's one scene where someone is doing that, no matter what.
Just
the
as
gay
an
books,
homage.
The straight books.
Just as an homage.
Of course. It's my tag, so if you ever come.
Nina.
What if it's
exactly.
a lesbian story?
We have dildos for that, Rachel. I can't believe
cocaine
you asked.
Cocaine dildo?
Still,
okay, I don't know. I will say I've never written a cocaine
story. We should collaborate
story.
On drug erotica, you and I. We should collaborate on a book on drug porn.
Okay.
All right.
I have many new songs to write after this. Before we run out of time, I do want to say that the New York Funny Songs Festival was our first year this year, but we're going to have a second year of it. So you can, if you are an appreciator of funny songs, or maybe you write funny songs yourself, you can apply. So go check it. Just Google it online and you'll find it and you can contact us.
So what do you think the funniest song ever written is? Any nominees? What do we think?
I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton.
I was going to say Total Eclipse of the Heart, but there goes that irony.
This is a hard question. I don't know.
There's so many funny songs, and
but it's—I guess it's a funny, intentionally funny.
Yeah,
song,
I was thinking
funny,
yeah.
intentionally funny song. That's the question.
I mean,
what do you think?
Flight of the Conchords does it so well. Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, he does parody, but
Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Hilarious.
There's a lot of Tim Rice lyrics that are pretty funny.
So a lot of train lyrics are really funny. I actually started an 8-piece jazz band, and we do covers of the Billboard Hot 100 at the Ace Hotel. And so I've been arranging these pop songs and really paying a lot more attention to them than you ever should. It's very catchy, the current song, train song Drive By, but there's a lyric in the chorus that is, I'm just a shy guy looking for a 2-ply hefty bag to hold my love.
Wow.
And
I moved.
If it was intentionally written that way, but the rest of the lyrics, like if it was intentionally supposed to be calling his woman a garbage dump, that would be brilliant. That would be brilliant writing. But the rest of the song has nothing to do with that, and so that is not the intention, and it's horrible.
But fun to play.
It's a very catchy song. It's going to be great. We have guest singers. So.
All right, and you're off to celebrate the first annual.
Yeah, I got to go collect my award.
Going right now, got to collect your award. Clear off the mantelpiece. Rachel Schuchert, what are you up to?
Oh, I'm just working all summer. I'm writing a new book, and I...
What's it about?
Well, it's two things. I can't talk about one of them yet, but the second one is the second in my YA series that comes out next year that's set in 1930s Hollywood, and it's very Jacqueline Suzanne.
Very nice. Very nice, Jacqueline Suzanne, one of our favorite pornographers.
I'm editing a book of orgasm erotica if you want to write. If you're inspired by today's show, I need more stories. I need 69 stories, which is a lot of stories.
Is that not redundant, orgasm erotica?
It is a little bit redundant, but the theme is orgasm, so different ways.
I'm very pro orgasm, I'd like to say.
Did you hear that thing about the Real Housewives? You remember Alex and Simon, the really creepy ones from Brooklyn? And how she, very seriously is she's like, no, the process of giving birth can be very erotic. In fact, when I gave birth, Simon was sitting behind me, and when it happened, we realized he had actually ejaculated.
Okay.
That's so disgusting.
And once again...
What was he doing sitting behind her?
Why is she telling people?
Why was he rubbing his penis on her while she was giving birth to his kid?
And why is she telling people?
Once again, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet. What a way to end. It's the Mike and Judy Show. Once again, it's Mike Edison for my co-host Judy McGuire, who's out in the field today. Thanks to Rachel Kramer Bustle, Rachel Schuchert, and Ben Lerman, who's going to take us out with another funny song. Mike and Judy, thanks to Joe, our new engineer, and Jack at Bonnaroo. We'll see you guys next week.
We met just by chance, or so I thought when you said we ought to dance. I was inspired. We stayed up till dawn, but waited a week before we got it on. Your body was on fire. Then you asked for a favor. I said, okay. You're moving to Brooklyn, sure, I'll be there 7 a.m. Saturday. I helped you load a van with my two hands, and I did it all for you. But then the very next day, you threw me away. You only fucked me so I'd help you move. You only fucked me so I'd help you move. You only fucked me so I'd help you move. Well, karma's a bitch, 'cause that new apartment's bed bugs made you itch. Your body is on fire.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaeli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, the French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.